don't know why this is not playing very loud. All right, so this gal asked me this question on the channel, and I got thinking about it, and I thought, okay, this is such a big question that I probably should do a little comment on it. So here's the disclaimer. Here we go. Let's start it again.
I'm sure that information contained on the this website or on your phones are from general information and entertainment purposes only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You should not be this material to make any business decisions. While this channel does intend to keep it up to date and correct, the project makes no representations or duties of any kind, express or implied about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website, information product services, audio files, or related graphics contained on this website for any purposes. All due diligence is the sole responsibility of the participants.
That was Kanaka. I always appreciate playing that. So folks, my name is Miss Parker and I'm with RV Project Help. And I had, excuse me, I had a question today that says, how do I get an invitation to a high wealth event? And there's been another conversation that was kind of swirling around. And I thought, you know what, these two questions are actually really big questions, and when you're newly wealthy, you don't realize it. So you want to get an invitation to a high wealth event. So before you ask those kind of questions, the bigger, there's other questions that are going to guide the answer to that question, such as, you know, what's the reason you want to get an invitation? Do you know what events you want to go to? What are your goals to go to a high wealth event? Does this event line up with your personal interests? Is there a single person that you need to get the invitation from, or can you get the invitation from anyone in the group? Do you have access to the group? Do you have access to any of the sponsors of the events? Do you know who is sponsoring it? And then the other thing I get is, I'm not going to change, so why do I need to go to high wealth events? I think they'd bore me. So the reason why is the reason why you want invitations to high wealth events is a very painful answer. And it's not an answer that anybody wants to hear. The reason being is you're going to lose all your friends. Okay. And you can sit here and tell me, oh, Parker, you don't know what you're talking about. My friends are not going to be that way. Folks, they will. They will. And unless your friends are also with high wealth or have this kind of currency, you will lose every single one of your friends. And there's nothing you can do about it. And there may be one or two that don't step out, but what happens is you tell yourself, oh, well, I'm just going to cover so-and-so's bills. It'll be all right. And then the first year, everything's good. The second year, you start feeling resentful over little things. And they can't figure out why you're resentful. Because you have all the money. When you have all the money, you have all the power. And I mean, these are truths. And all of these, PC, politically correct people, they don't want you to say this kind of shit. They want you to pretend, oh, that's not true. It is fucking true. It is true. Whoever has the money has the power, and whoever has the money in a relationship has a power. That's just the way it is. Now, the person that has the money can poo-poo that and, you know, pay all the bills until they get tired of that shit. But that's the breakdown of it, okay? So you must figure out what you want to do on your off time. That is so critically important, because what happens is you end up getting in this this rush of buying, and it is an adrenaline rush. I'm not kidding you. Buying big things is way freaking fun, okay? And then you just go through this phase of you're buying big shit just because you can, you know, not because you need it, just I can do this, you know. When you buy your first Maserati, that's freaking amazing. My dream car was a Maz. I had the Maserati for about 10 months, and I had, I think, 32 speeding tickets. I had speeding tickets in 10 different states in the United States, and two of the states were saying, if you come do this again, we're going to throw you in jail. So, you know, I realized that I can't have a Maserati. As much as, you know, I'm pretty sure that octagon sign that's red with the black letters that say STOP means step toe on pedal. Let's go faster. They said, no, Park. No, that's not what's for. So I had to sell my car. I had to, because I was looking at jail time if I didn't. One more ticket. I mean, they were not happy with me. So once you get through the rush of buying all the things you want to buy and taking your friends out to crazy, you know, I took my friends out to Vegas, cost me $250,000, $250,000 to party for one night. When you have that kind of money, it's really fun to do that, okay? I'm not going to lie, it's fun, okay? It's fun. But after a while, it hits you. This is going nowhere. You know, I got to have some kind of focus in my life, or I'm going to run through this $15 million in like a month, you know, a month flat. So you start to figure out, look, I need to actually keep this money for long term. And I cannot continue with friends that I have to pay all their bills because they resent me. They resent you. They resent you because you have it and they don't. And it happens really slowly. But 2 years down the road, you're going to find 90%, maybe much higher, maybe 95, 99%. Of the friends you had when you were poor are no longer your friends, and it'll break your heart. It's awful. It's one of the worst things to go through, but every single person that's newly rich goes through it, and it sucks. All of the other wealthy people, they've already had this happen to them. They know it's going to happen to you, and they don't help you. They get kind of a macabre joy out of watching you fall directly on your face. It's like paying your dues. They, you know, okay, it happened to us. Now it has to happen to you before you can become one of us, because you need to understand the issues. Okay. You already understand the issue when you lose your first friend. But that's how they treat nouveau riche, is they have zero, the wealthy, the currently wealthy, the high end wealthy, they have no respect for you until you learn some, what they call manners. And it's not even manners is what they want you to learn. They want you to learn the cold, hard facts of being wealthy versus not being wealthy. And the first thing is you lose all your friends. Now you can try, and you can try to do whatever you can to not lose those friends. And you can drag the process on quite a bit if you want to. The first time I became wealthy, oh my God. I had a crew of about 35 people that I was paying their bills, and it took a while to get to that number, maybe 4 or 5 months. But it's like, oh, it's my friend and her husband, and my friend, her husband, and her daughter, and my friend, her husband, her daughter, and her daughter's boyfriend, my friend, her husband, and her daughter, and her husband's business partner. And do you see how it goes? And pretty soon you got an entourage of 35 people. It's a pain in the ass. It's a serious pain in the ass. Okay. So eventually you'll come to the conclusion that I have to make new friends. Okay. How do you make new friends and use security at the same time? It's very simple. You go to high wealth events. The reason why you go to high wealth events is because the common person cannot afford to go to the event. That's the ugly truth. It's the truth, though. Okay? Ugly or not, it is the truth. You want to pick the most expensive damn events you can go to of your interest because that will separate cons from people that are real, that are actually high wealth people from people that are saying, oh, I got money, but they really don't. One of the things I'm telling everybody, it's like when we go after we RV, RV Project Help, we're going to have an event and we're going to have, I'm going to have common law speakers. I'm going to have a couple of my, my high-end, oh, I can't think of the name all of a sudden. My talent agents, my talent scouts. Oh, I can't think of the name. Hiring managers. I'm gonna have a lot of people that high wealth individuals are gonna need access to, and they don't know how to get access to. The other thing I'm going to have, headhunters was the word I was going to have say, is I have headhunters that I can call because I've built a reputation with them for the past, oh, 15, 20 years. That if I call them up and I say, hey, look, I need a couple of good CEOs, they will go reach out to CEOs because CEOs, they don't really like to stay at a place more than 2, 3 years. It kind of dulls them out. And it makes them less attractive to keep going up the ladder. So they will reach out to hotshots and say, hey, are you looking for a new position? Because I've got a gal that is in the market to hire a CEO. So my two best headhunters, I've already reached out to them, and they are planning to have at least a dozen each. So probably 24 or 30 CEOs. And we're flying them in all secret. And in some of the meetings, we're going to be saying, hey, look, if you're in health, these CEOs are going to be good for you. If you're in property management, these CEOs are going to be good for you. If you're in inventions and rolling out businesses and other, you know, international sales, these CEOs are going to be for you. And just let people interview them. And you know, get to the understanding that they're interviewing you as much as you're interviewing them. And a lot of these gurus say, oh, well, you're just going to go out and hire these guys. It doesn't work that way. Not in the real world. They are not going to take a position with an asshole. If you're a jerk, they're not going to work with you. Okay. If there's a lot of things that they are looking for when they're looking for companies or positions that they're going to step to next. And that's a whole different other topic. So, that's one of the ways that you'll be able to pick up information. And then at this, at the RV Project Help meeting, we're also going to have a schedule of high wealth events worldwide so that you can look at this and figure out, you know, what kind of things interest you. Because you don't want to go to a high wealth event that you're not interested in. You don't want to do that. First of all, you put your face in a place where you're just walking through, okay? If you put your face in a place, a high-end place, and that is a signal to other high wealth individuals that, hey, this is where I want to put my money, okay? And people will look at you, listen to you talking in groups, and then they'll come over and talk to you. Say, I'm gonna be absolutely crazy into J-class racing. Does anybody know what J-class racing is? Let me get a picture up and then you'll know what J-class racing is. This is the love and passion of my life. You know what the America's Cup is? Those are J-class sailboats. J-class racing has its roots in the oldest international yacht race in the world, America's Cup. I want to live in Barcelona. I want to have a home in Barcelona. Why? Because that's the home of the America's Cup. So I'm going to want to try to go to any major expensive event that features sailboats, race boats, okay? Because all of the people that I want to make connections with are going to be at those events. So the first thing is, what is your focus? What do you want? What do you really like to do? What kind of hobby are you going to do? What kind of social event are you interested in? You know, you might be interested in ballroom dancing. Okay, that's the elite, or not the elite, but the high wealth people are involved in that. Very expensive. You might be interested in Formula One race cars. So the first thing you have to figure out is, what trips your trigger? What thing do you really, really, really like? And then you want to go to events that will have those same kind of people that like those same kind of things at those events. This is the fastest way to make high wealth friends, is through common interests, okay? So if the reason you want an invitation is to make other friends, high wealth friends that you can start to pal around with and go do things with, you can call them up and say, "Hey, gratitude, I want to go to New York City and have pizza at Blondie's. What are you doing this afternoon? You want me to get the plane, or do you want to fly over here and we'll go from here?" And gratitude says, "Yeah, you know, I'm in Scottsdale right now. I'll fly up to Texas and we can go. We can take your plane." That's the way it goes, folks. That's the way it happens. I have a friend that lives in Quebec, Canada, and when I was running my dispensaries, she would call me up and say, "Hey, we need to go to Amsterdam," which meant we need to take a week off and just stay loaded as hell. Just go through all the Amsterdam coffee shops and sample all the different flowers. So she would call me up and, "What are you doing next Friday? You want to take off Friday through Sunday? We'll be back Sunday." Okay. Well, her plane had a farther range than mine, so we only had to fill up once with hers. You know, we fill up in Amsterdam and then fly back. So we took her plane. These things become commonplace when you are wealthy. Very common. And the first time you start having conversations like this, you're like, "Do I need to pinch myself? What planet am I on?" But this is common. This is the way you will change into your new life, okay? What is the reason you want an invitation? So making new friends is usually the biggest reason. Another reason is, I want to learn about this, okay? I want to go to J-class events because I want to learn about America Cup racing. I think I'm going to like it, but I'm not sure. So I want to go to one of those kind of events. So if you're going to an event, if you're looking to go to an event just to figure out if you like that kind of thing, don't talk to a lot of people. Don't put yourself out there. Go to whatever the thing is. Be quiet, listen, take a lot of notes. Don't be gregarious. Don't pass your information out. You know, people come talk to you, keep it really quiet, or, you know, don't put out any signals that you want to have a friend. Because on the other side of this, if I've done this too, this sucks. I go to an event. I went to a car show, a really exclusive car show. And I really am not into quarter mile racing. I'm really not into it. I didn't know I was not into it until I went to this event. And this is the first time I became a millionaire, and I was so fucking lonely. Oh God, it was awful. Because, you know, I'd taken friends to different events, and it's never enough. No matter what you do, it ends up being never enough. And then you start feeling put out. And so I just wanted to change everything. So I went to this event just because it was very expensive to get in. It was like $5,000 for a ticket. And I knew that everybody I knew couldn't afford to go. So it was going to slice off people that, you know, I didn't want to talk to. I wanted to have high wealth friends because I didn't know any. I didn't have any. Well, I met this gal, and she was a real country gal, real funny Texas gal. Ironic, I live in Texas now. And like me, she was trying to make new friends. She had been had high wealth for about 3 or 4 years at that time, and me, I was about a year into it. So she just glommed on, because women in that arena are kind of rare. There are not a lot of women that like that kind of stuff, like really, really like it and have enough money to go buy a car and get involved and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're not their thing. So I exchanged information with her. I gave her my phone number. And 6 months later, I ended up changing my phone number because she was driving me nuts. The amount of high wealth individuals are very small. They're in some areas, they're a lot, but in others areas, very small. So if you make a friend, if you make a connection in that arena, and you guys get along, they want to talk to you. They want to be your friend because they're in the same position you are. They don't have a lot of friends that have high wealth. So it ends up being an issue of quality more than quantity. So be careful. Be careful when you start going out to these kind of things, because you may end up making a friend of somebody that you really don't want to be involved in that sport or that event. And unfortunately, that friend may have interest in the same interest you have in a different area, and then will tell people, oh, you know, she's just a fake friend. She came out and we had a great time at this event. She said she really liked it, and then she didn't want anything to do with it again. So you can't really, you know, you can't really go with that gal. She's kind of wishy-washy. When I wasn't, this all came back to me later, I'm not wishy-washy at all. I just didn't know that I didn't like that kind of race cars. I like race cars, don't get me wrong, but that kind of racing didn't trip my trigger. So be careful. Careful when you first start going out. Be careful meeting new people. Make sure that what you're going to is something that you really want to be at, because just by simply being there, you're going to attract other high wealth individuals, because they see you, you see them. You go to another event in that same genre that has a big ticket to go in, and pretty soon, oh, hey, I saw that gal before. Oh, hey, I saw that guy before at another one of these events. Well, if you're going to these events once a month and the ticket price to go in is $5 to $10K, average Joe can't afford it. So without doing anything, you're slicing away the people that are not high end from the people that are, because people that are can easily afford to go to these things every single week or every single month, whatever it is. But people that are not, like all the grifters, the thieves, and those kind of people, you're going to see them at one event. And then if they glom onto somebody, you'll see them at another event, but they'll be with somebody. They won't ever be by themselves, but maybe once. So that's something you got to kind of watch out for, too. So figure out what kind of events you want to go to. Figure out why you want to go to them, and, you know, what's the reason. Make sure it lines up with your personal interests, because if it doesn't, it's going to end up shooting you right in the foot, okay? Now, is there a single person you need to get the invitation from, or can you get an invitation from anyone that's involved in the group? That's actually a really tough question because there are some events. Now, I don't know about a lot of things, but I do know about J class racing because that is my passion is and you know, to get into J class racing, minimum of $150,000 to build a boat. Okay, so it's not this is not for the cheap boys, okay? But J class racing is very, 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 very exclusive. There are this is a sport that had nearly died, and it was down to seven boats in the world, and now they're building them. And the reason why it went down to seven boats is because during World War II, these were steel race boats, steel-built race boats. They scrapped them, and they scrapped all of them but seven for the war effort for World War II. So they're just starting to bring these boats back. So it's a very tiny slice of society, and everybody involved in it is extremely wealthy. They have to be, because not only are they racing boats, in order to race a boat, you have to have one built, and it has to be built to the standards of 1902, 1910, something like that. So these events are very difficult to get invitations to, and some of them it's one person. So how do you get events to this kind of thing? Well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to reach out to your wealth management group and you're going to say, hey, I want to go to this event. And the first thing they're going to ask you is why. Because whatever you do with your wealth management group, if you take a step wrong or do something that they think is kind of not good, they're going to tell you. They're going to say, hey, look, you don't want to do that because of this. And if you say, I don't give a shit about that, then they'll shut up. But you will substantially lower your ability to get your wealth management team to do big stuff for you if you don't take their advice, at least some of the time. Now, you know, I don't take my wealth management team's advice all the time. But on the bigger things, I generally do because it's always it's a symbiotic relationship. They have to have you have to have them, and they know it. So if you make enough mess ups with your high wealth management team, they'll just desert you, okay? And they won't give you any, they won't tell you why. They'll just say, ah, we're not working with you anymore. That's all they'll say. So make sure that you don't burn your bridges with there. So reach out to your high wealth management team and say, hey, there's a J class training race in Barcelona and it's invitation only. Can you get me an invite? What they're going to do is they're going to reach out to everybody they know in sailboat racing. And high wealth management people are going to know a lot of people in sailboat racing. And they should be able to secure you a way in or at least be able to talk to the person and say, hey, they're vouching for you by saying, yeah, this person is working with our agency, and this is the reason why I'm only going to work with certain agencies because the name of the agency carries a tremendous amount of weight and can open up doors. I had people tell me, look, I want to work with my cousin Benny, you know, he does high wealth management. How long has Benny been doing this? Oh, about 5, 6 years, not long enough. You need somebody that's high wealth management and their team has been in place for at least 20, 30 years because it's keys to doors. That's what high wealth management people do is they have keys to doors that you can't open. Not only are they going to help you with your wealth management, a lot of people can do that. But the reason why I always, always, always go to a senior wealth management company is because I want the keys to the doors that I can't open. Calling my wealth management team, first way to do it. Okay. So that's the first thing you do. Call your wealth management team. Now you call them and they say, you know, we don't have anybody that's involved in this. We don't know anybody. We can't get into that arena, which you never hear ever. They figure out a way, but that's another subject. So they say, well, we can't get it fast enough, or we can't for whatever reason. So the next person I reach out to is my headhunter. Because my headhunter, I have two really, really good headhunters. I have one that I use nationally and I have one that I use internationally. And they know literally every CEO that you would want to know that's in the same industry that I'm in. Okay. And they know their likes and dislikes, because a lot of times CEOs, they want to be placed in a company that's close by whatever their interest of is. There's two CEOs that I'm going to make them incredible offers. And they both live in Barcelona because they like racing. Okay. So sailboat racing. So those are the two groups of people that I will go to if I can't get access to figuring out how to get an invitation to one of these high wealth events. Those are the two people I go to. Those are my secret squad. That's how I got invitations to events that I probably would never have gotten involved in. And if you make a high wealth individual friend, they won't tell you this shit. First of all, they assume that you already know it. You usually don't. And if they don't assume that you already know it, they watch you to see what you do. Because when you're newly rich, you don't know what the rules are. So you don't follow any of them. You know, the, oh, this is the way everybody else does it. You don't know that. So you don't follow those rules. And a lot of times those that are newly wealthy come up with different ways to get stuff done. And that's highly interesting, because it gives different, it shows other people different paths to do what they want to do later. And it's funny as hell. I'll admit it. It is funny as hell. It is funny. It is funny. It is funny. It is absolutely entertainment. Are we being assholes when we're saying that? Yes, we are. But you want the truth? That's the truth. And it's not pretty. I mean, I'm a little ashamed of some of the things I did. A lot of times, newly wealthy cannabis people, they do the same mess ups. Every single one of them does. And so we just kind of sit back and wait for them to fall on their face, because it's funny. And now, because I know people that are wealthy do that, I'm absolutely not going to do it, because I don't have time for all these humanitarians that I've been helping and giving them information and give them advice about how to get humanitarian projects on. I don't want any of the people that are in my humanitarian army to have to go through that shit, because it's just time wasting, and I don't have time to be wasting time. So by telling you guys this stuff so that you don't fall on your face, it just gets you up and running faster and gets you into your projects faster and helps the world faster. So that's my focus of it. You have access to the group. Yeah, there is racism, and there's racism for every single color of every single people. There are groups that are not going to want you to be involved in it because you're white. There's groups that are going to not want you to be involved in it because you're black. There's groups that are not going to want you to be involved in it because you're Hispanic. Okay, deal with it. That's the real world. We can say, oh, this is not going to happen, but it will. And everybody will just bury their heads in the sand and pretend it doesn't happen. The way we change racism, the way we change any of that stuff, where the haves and the have not, this change has to start with you. And when you have the money, you have the power. I'm going to be putting on events, because I'm going to be putting on art contests. I'm going to be putting on week-long events in cannabis. I'm going to be putting week-long events in other areas. And part of the reason why is because I know there is a big disconnect with certain people. And if I have the money and I'm putting on the event, I get to make the rules. And I'm not going to put those kind of rules, unspoken rules, on my events. Everybody's welcome. If you've got the skills, stand up. If you don't have the skills, shut the fuck up and sit down. It's that. It's just like that. And it's not about connections. It's if you have the talent. And it's, I'm going to do that with art. I'm going to do that with wood crafting, all different kind of crafting works. I'm going to have big contests and give away a lot of money as prizes, because I believe that craftspeople, that's a dying field. And if you don't start having events or contests for craftspeople that give them a reason to go learn these kind of crafts, we're going to lose all that. So, you know, figure out what you want to do, figure out what your interest is, what is your personal interest, and focus events on your personal interest, because time is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. The more money you have, the more you're working, the bigger the projects you're doing, your time is going to get really tiny, the free time that you have. So before you go helter skelter doing all kinds of different things, really sit down at peace with yourself and figure out what is it that I really want to do on my downtime, on my fun time, and then focus on that. Because you're not going to have the time you have right now. It's just not going to happen. You're going to get pulled in all different directions. So I hope that helps, folks. I want you to be the very best you can be. I don't want you to go through any of the pain in the ass startup things that everybody usually goes through when they become newly wealthy individuals. God bless you, humanitarians. We have a lot of things to do, and I can't wait to be out in that great big world working to make a better place for all of us with you. God bless you. Bye.